First reading, we have a situation of God realizing that Moses needed help, and so he asks Moses to create a list of 70 elders, respectable, the list to be brought forward and then to bring them forward and have a portion of the Spirit that rested upon Moses rest upon these elders to share in the work of judgment. Because Moses was wearing himself to a frazzle. What we have is two remained in the camp, and when the Spirit falls, it falls on the 68 who were there and the two that remained in the camp. We see this understanding of those that are with us and those that are of a separate thing. And Joshua's immediate response is, stop them. They're not in the group. They didn't come. And Moses is basically saying, knock it off. He says, they're not against us. Would that God could impart his Spirit on everyone. Which is ironically what he does at Pentecost. But we see in the gospel too, this same understanding of us and them. Disciples of Jesus tried to stop someone who is driving out demons in Jesus' name. Because he's not with them. He's not walking with them. And Jesus puts their heart at ease and says, he can't do it in my name if at the same time he can speak ill of me. I have met many people outside the confines of the Catholic Church who love Jesus very much. And I have found many people who are great friends and who have encouraged me in my own personal walk with Jesus to put it first in my life and to grow in love of him, not only by their example, but by their friendship. Then we come to the difficult part of the gospel, this understanding of cutting things off. Clearly we see the warning of how tender and how precious the little ones are to Jesus. Our responsibility as teachers, our responsibility as giving them good example. It is grave. The example that we give is very important. Just spent 4 days in our continuing education at Conception Abbey, and one of the speakers, his whole presentation was to the priest. He said, are you helping the parents of the children of your parish to understand their role in educating their children, of sharing their faith with their children? He says, they spend more time with them than we possibly could. They are essential. And so the focus of helping parents, equipping parents, answering questions to parents, to allow parents to have all of their questions answered, to be put in a good place so that their examples can benefit their children, to meet them in their needs so that they then can meet the needs of their children. This is a change. This is a change of focus, a change of understanding. I'm glad for it. Too many times people will drop their kid off at religious education or drop it off at the school and just say, okay, my responsibilities are done. I'm paying for this education. Do a good job. It's like, sure. We'll get back to you in that. Jesus goes on to say, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Let's be very clear, my brothers and sisters. I do not want to see anybody come to church with one eye, one hand, or one foot. What Jesus is saying is that eyes, hands, and feet are good. They are created for a purpose. They are created for some benefit for us. Just like many things in our life that are good. But if these good things, interfere, if they get in the way of the greater good. And what is the greater good? Three times he says, it is better for you to enter into life. He's speaking about eternal life. It is better to enter into life with one hand or one eye or one foot and hobbling and crippled and half blind than to go to hell with all of your hands and your eyes and your feet. Do we do this, my brothers and sisters? Do we set aside things in our life because they lead us into temptation? You know, athletes give up many things, seemingly many good things, for a greater goal. They give up recreating with friends or doing this or doing that in order to spend the time they need to do, in order to practice, in order to go over this and to go over that, in order to excel in becoming an athlete and a professional athlete. They work harder than everyone else. They sacrifice more than anyone else. And that's just for a sport, for a game. How much more should our discipline, our call to sacrifice be when we're not talking about a game, but we're talking about eternal life? But we are in a culture nowadays in which we do not want to sacrifice anything. You know, it's the difference of store shelves between back in the day in the Cold War when, you know, some of us were younger. Some of us were alive, let's say it that way. I see some young faces in here that don't know. But you see like a shelf in communist Russia and there's one type of peanut butter. And you better like it. I mean, it's the kind with the barbed wire in it and all of that stuff. But it's the one kind that they have. And then in the store in the United States, and we've got 60 different kinds of peanut butter. Creamy, super creamy, crunchy, extra crunchy, mildly crunchy, sort of crunchy, sort of crunchy, sort of mild. You have all of these options, and we sit there as Americans, and we're scared that I want them all. I got to have them all, just in case. It's hard for us to sacrifice. But we need to learn to do this. I try to think of concrete examples without getting too detailed, but I know that when I was in the Navy, that there were certain guys that I could not hang out with after work. Because afterwards, I would find myself in a place that I didn't want to be, in a state I didn't want to be in, and would feel horrible and rotten the next day or the next 24 hours. And I just knew it. If I hung out with them, this is where we are going to go. And I had to cut that off because I didn't want to have that anymore. They were good guys, yes, but they just couldn't say no. Couldn't say no to themselves, and were really pushy about not saying no for anybody else. There's certain places that I can't go, lest I get into conversations that get me irritated and angry. There are certain foods I should eat for health-wise. It's good food. It's darn good food. It tastes delicious. But I have to give it up. They don't want to, but if we put it in context of the greater goal, to be healthy, to not have acid reflux at 10 o'clock at night while I'm trying to go to bed, then I have to make that sacrifice. I have to give up that good for a greater good, getting a good night's sleep, losing 20 pounds, all right, 30. Are you guys awake out there? That was a pretty good joke. I was self-deprecating there. So, my brothers and sisters, we cannot be afraid to give up things for the greater good. You know, I mean, we could list them all the different things, the things that lead us into temptation. You know, there are people who will buy all of the channels on cable because they have to have them all, even though there's some inappropriate channels. Well, I don't watch those, but I had to have it all because I had it. And so your money's going to support that channel. Well, I don't watch it. Well, yeah, but you've got it on your cable. It might be not a temptation for you, but is it a temptation for anybody else in your household? Oh, well. So, I don't know. You do the math. You do the homework. You look at your life. It's okay to say, these are the things, these are the goals, these are the priorities of my life. This is what I want. It's okay to state that and proclaim that and share that, especially if you're married. You need to share those ideas, those goals, those hopes with each other. Be open about it. Share it. You have family. You want someone to help support you in those goals, to do that. But so often to achieve these things, to get there is sacrifice involved. And Jesus just makes it clear. What is more important, having a hand or eternal life? So, if it causes you to sin, cut it off. Get rid of it. Separate it from your life. You will feel much better afterwards. You know, when we go to confession and we confess our sins, we also try and not approach the near occasions of sin, to avoid the things that lead me then to this and that. And people who are recovering from addictions, there's a model that they use of circles. And in the center circle, there are triggers, things that they know that if they happen, they will fall. They will fall into their addiction. You know, somebody's got a shopping problem. Nobody's got shopping problems, right? You know, there's no problem about being on the internet with your credit card at 10 o'clock at night. No problem with that at all. That's the obvious time to look for good deals and to shop and to buy a bunch of stuff that you don't need. In the center circle, there are triggers. Things that you know, if I get in this place, if I feel this way, I will fall. And so you put them in the circle. And then you create a circle, a donut around it. And that, he'll use another term, donuts, because sometimes that's a trigger for somebody. So a circle around the other circle. And in that we create a buffer. We create a buffer of space, of time, of things that we are going to do so that we never get to the trigger. You know, if I stay up past 11 o'clock at night, that's a huge trigger for me. So I need to be in bed by 10 o'clock. Put that as my goal in that next circle. You know, if I'm not connecting with my family, that's a trigger for me. I can, lead to feeling lonely and this and that. So every week, every day, I'm going to reach out to one of my siblings. Hey, I got six of them and then my parents. So that means I could call one a day. How great is that? Call my brother on a Tuesday and he'd be like, what do you want? Like, just wanted to hear your lovely voice. Find out how you're doing. To connect with you. I need to connect with you. So we set in that center, that second circle, all of the things that we build a buffer so we don't ever get to the triggers. And then in the last circle, we create all of the things, all of the goals, all the good things to do. Encourage us and rewards for doing the things that are better. It works for addicts and separating from the things that hold them bound. My brothers and sisters, you should work for us. And we say, hello, my name is Anthony. Hello, Anthony. I'm addicted to sin. Sinners Anonymous. Join the club. So, my brothers and sisters, it's a very simple thing that Jesus presents to us. I probably made it much more complicated than I need to. Look honestly at our lives. It's okay to say no to things. It's okay to separate them from your life if you have the greater good in mind. It's not saying that it's evil or wicked, but just says that it leads me where I don't want to go, and I have a greater destiny in mind. I have a greater goal in mind. Anyone who has been ill and has had to give up good things for a period of time in order to get healthy knows what I'm talking about. You always hold that greater good, that greater goal in mind. And it's always there, and it's always calling you and challenging you to give, to let go. If it's true of the mundane things of this world, how important is it for us to do the same in reaching our ultimate destiny? Amen.